Welcome aboard, you people. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanche is right here. Another day of broadcast insolence.
Yes.
That's what's happening.
Happy Thursday, everybody.
Thank you. And let's just get started right in it, because we were able to drag Congressman Adam Kinzinger out of just about to make a vote that is going to be of incredible importance. And we need to ask a couple of questions here about things that are happening. Actually, if we could just stop for a second and talk about what's legislatively happening, because what's happening around all the theatrics and other things happening around Washington, need to take a back seat for just a moment to the people's business. If you don't mind, is this in advance of the tax reform package? And if not, when does that happen?
So this right now, what we're going to do is vote to keep the government open for another 2 weeks. That's good, and then the tax reform I think happens within that time frame. It's in conference right now between the Senate and the House to nail out differences, and I think by the time we go home for Christmas, this thing's done. And I think once all the scare tactics are kind of over and people see this new tax plan, they're going to be pretty happy with it.
You have any trepidation about it? I mean, if you could get in there and write and change some things. Are there areas that you'd like to attack?
Yeah, there's always areas you'd look at improving or changing or making better or different. But, when you deal with the tax system, which is, in essence, the entire economy, you have some things you like and some things you don't. In my district, 70% of people take the standard deduction. That's going to get doubled. You're doubling the child tax credit. And I think making our small businesses way more competitive. So I think there's going to be some good stuff to come out of it. And I taxes is an issue where left and right will fight all the time, but I think people will be happy with this.
You worried about deficit impact here?
Yeah, always. And, I believe that right now we're showing about 3% growth in the economy, which is better than what CBO's predicted. When the economy grows, you do get a lot more coming in. But I think we need to take an overall look just at how to make our tax code competitive so that we can get more business and get more folks working. And then the other thing, we do have to look at our long-term they call it entitlement spending. And if we have to make adjustments for people like me, I'm 39 years old, to save it for the current seniors, let's have that conversation. There may be some bipartisan opportunity there. We'll see.
You said we are going to avoid the shutdown for 2 weeks. Are you confident after that there will be some resolution that's more permanent?
So I'm ever an optimist, although that's been shot down a few times. Mm-hmm. I hope so. You remember the whole kind of Chuck and Nancy and the president having a Twitter fight, and nobody showing up to the meeting. That set us back, and so we were hoping to not have to go to a two-week continuing resolution. I do think there's progress being made on these kind of top-line numbers and overall numbers, and so I think I don't think we're going to face like a government shutdown, but there's still a lot of work to do.
All right, and very quickly on the issue of Jerusalem being recognized as the capital. It was already recognized as the capital by the United States, but moving the embassy there. And now there were protests today in Ramallah. What is your reaction to all of that?
I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, this is actually U.S. law that it's there, and every 6 months the president has to sign a waiver, and has since 1995, I think. And I think it was a bold move. I think it's a right move. But I think we also need to, do this in cooperation with saying, look, there's no daylight between us and Israel. And what the president said yesterday, we are still committed to a peace process. So, yeah, you'll see riots and rallies. But it's been interesting over the last few years. Actually, the Arab world and the Muslim world and Israel have been driven much closer together because of a common enemy in Iran and in terrorism. So I think it's a much different political environment than it was in 1995.
Does it change America's position as being an honest broker, being able to negotiate peace moving forward if one side so terribly disagrees with this decision?
I don't think so. I mean, we've always tried not to show daylight between us and Israel. And kind of our opening thing, and same with Israel, is, look, we're willing to negotiate, but you have to accept that Israel has a right to exist, and that, the Jewish people have a right to live there, which some of the folks on the other side of that negotiation don't believe. So, I don't think this is going to be, some are trying to say this is going to just create World War III in the Middle East. I don't believe that at all. I think it was time to finally get this done, and I think we can move on now.
All right, Congressman Adam Kinzinger, go vote. Keep the government open, would you?
Thank
That's
you.
Right. Please.
Appreciate it.
We'll do my best.
All right, thanks, bye.
Bye-bye.
There's guys who actually have to do real things. Now, Violetta has to keep the roads open right now with her traffic report. Can you do that?
Yes.
Did you hear what he just did? It was very important.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. All you have to do is visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com and check it out today. Roy, you'll be happy to know your DJ friend, cheesy DJ guy, Grope Taylor Swift, paid his $1 settlement to her today in the rudest way possible.
Yeah, you know what I did.
What time did you pay her?
I paid her at 7:20 in the morning and 4:20 in the afternoon. 50 cents apiece.
Did he ask her to, like, reach into his pocket to get it or something? Was it one of those kinds of deals?
No, not as bad, but he said he intended to give... Well, he gave her the Sacagawea coin, intending that the coin, you know, featuring a Native American woman, it was like a jab at her side, you know, that she was trying to stand up for women kind of thing.
Sick burn, radio guy.
I thought, like, maybe pennies.
There's only 100 of them, though. You know, that's not, like, a good trick.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's when, like, you have to pay someone $1,000 in pennies.
Yeah, that's a good trick.
Yeah.
So she's received her settlement, one full U.S. dollar, and he got to take a little clever jab at the end.
What? It's Sacagawea.
I mean...
Hey, you know what? I'm going to take some phone calls right now. What's the most offensive way I can pay my dollar? Yeah.
When will you tell us the answer?
Donald from Washington on 9-3. What do you think, Don?
Don's a big-time listener.
Mm-hmm.
Huge fan.
First time caller. Last time this is John Duren. I would pay her in a Pocahontas dollar.
Pocahontas. Same thing.
I don't think they got a Pocahontas dollar, but I think they got a Sacagawea.
Well, they're all the same, those Native Americans, so I'll give her it.
You probably think so.
Absolutely right. I'm glad you see it the same way I do, little lady.
Do you have any concert tickets? Or
I do got concert tickets. Right around the corner. You can rip me off.
Maybe at Taylor Swift's concert.
Florida Georgia Line tickets coming up right after this.
Yeah. Swift still has not received the dollar, so she's still waiting.
What caller for the tickets? What caller do I need to be?
What?
Like seven? What do you go? Caller number seven?
Caller number 69 rips me off.
Oh, God. Scary part is it's probably not that far from the truth.
Lucky listener 69.
Isn't that right, Tay-Tay? It's a Taylor free zone coming up right after this.
It's hard to do. There are too many songs
that
in
is
her,
true.
In
that
her
is
repertoire.
Very true. So, I don't know.
Take that, Taylor.
Yes, I know.
coming up a little bit later on, Al Franken's going to join us.
God. I think you should start a podcast.
I think you should too. It's a great idea.
Creepy
do,
radio.
Do
DJ
you have one of those
guy.
Locks in your studio, like Matt Lauer, so your guests can't leave?
I've got one of those in my car.
Yeah.
Right. Come on, little lady, sit in the front seat, would you?
I can only imagine the holiday parties at Cheesy Radio Guys.
Oh, my God.
Office.
I've been to those holiday parties at Cheesy Radio Guys. It's,
and the inappropriate gift exchanges there.
Exactly. Well, the guy shows up and he's got a brief, old style briefcase that opens up from the top, you know? And it's got a bottle of Jack Daniels, a revolver, handcuffs, a sheriff's badge from some small county in rural Florida, and headphones.
Are you recounting this really from memory?
I'm just telling you right now, you always got to bring your own headphones, man, because people got ear infections.
Yeah.
I think that's the least of your worries.
Here, I got you a back massager.
Yeah, right.
I actually have seen exactly that briefcase, the kit, as a lot of guys in radio call it.
What? That they bring to work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you bring your own headphones. You got to have your gun with you at all times, just in case there's a crazy fan in the parking lot. And remember, these are radio stations that where the transmitter's on top of the radio station. So they're partly demented from the radio waves going straight into their brains, into their brain pan.
They just don't look right.
Yeah.
Eyes are a little glazed over.
A little bit. They have, you know, they got the full beard. And they've got the and they got the shirt though open, even though it shouldn't be.
Right, or the buttons are screwed up.
Yeah, like,
they're not matched up.
Yeah, maybe exactly. There's a little bit, and you get and sort of you know you're seeing the gut hair come out through the little area.
Little mustard stain.
Yeah,
on the collar.
That's the way the ladies like it. More cushion for the pushing.
Yeah.
Right after this.
It's kind of part funny, part so true.
Yeah, no, it's really very true. Yeah, I know. It's the way it is. All right.
How about him admitting, though, that this was to take a shot at her? He admits it.
Well, what else is he going to do? He's a radio guy. He's got to do a stunt. He can't just give her a dollar. He can't just have his lawyer present her with a check for a dollar, you know, like a certified check or whatever. He's got to turn it into a radio stunt. Yeah, I'm sure he didn't do it. I'm sure he called a press conference to do it, which is what you do. You get a big step and repeat from, you know, whatever the name of his radio station is, you know.
To tell everyone time you're going to be on next.
He told the AP, and then it got out to everyone. I mean, if it's all about women's rights, it's a little poke at them.
96.3.
I mean, here's the great...
What is the name of... What is his radio station? Do we know?
Well, he's no longer with the radio station. Remember that.
Well, he's got to be on one. I'm sure he's found... there's an Alabama radio station that's going to hire this guy. We're learning everything we need to know about Alabama right now. They love this kind of thing.
David Mueller is his name.
Yeah. Mueller in the morning.
KYGO.
So oh, God.
Find out
KY.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez.
They're a sponsor.
It gets worse.
It's KYGO.
Did you make that up, Kevin?
I'm serious.
KY go. And go. 96.3 KY.
Get a little more KY in the morning.
Oh, gosh.
Everything's easier with Mueller on KY.
Like Miller or Mueller? What's his
Mueller,
name?
Like the Mueller? Special wow. counsel.
Like man cow?
Yeah. M-U-E-L-L-E-R. Mueller.
Oh, my God. I wonder if he's man cow's like cousin or something.
I don't know. I never heard that. Never heard any kind of association. I'm sure he wants to disassociate now.
Or like nephew or something, maybe. I don't know. What would he be?
It's a country station in Denver.
Of course it is.
Well, that's very interesting.
That is interesting.
Oh, that's fascinating.
98.5
the KY. We're getting a little slippery coming up right after this.
Gee. Yuck.
Let's get back to our show. Yeah, I'm done with this guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we have Judy Pylak join us with the WGN News coming your way in two. Brokaw Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Did I just hear what I thought I just heard, Tom Skilling?
What's that, bro? That there might be some sticky snow?
Sticky snow on Friday night into Saturday morning.
That's right. And it looks like we're kind of on the west end of this thing. The area that I'd be most concerned about for the most substantial accumulations would be the parts of the Indiana Snow Belt and over into southwest lower Michigan. Because there we're going to have a little type, Manitoba-type system that dives southward out of Canada. And the track of it would pull cold air down the lake and into that area. Enhancing the snowfall later tomorrow night and Saturday.
So it's kind of a lake effect?
Yeah, for folks there, for sure. For us, we'll get a little system snow back here on the backside of it. And we might actually brush the extreme northeast Illinois shoreline with some lake-enhanced snow late tomorrow night and very early Saturday. Then we ought to...
That would be Chicago, or would that be parts north, or where would that be?
Be Chicago. Like, and I think as you go north and west, you've got much less to worry about. There'll be some snow tomorrow night, and we haven't had much around here, so that can create some real issues for driving on untreated roads. It'll be cold enough for that, but I think Indiana is the area, and they have winter storm watches out in parts of that area right now from... LaPorte County eastward is where the storm watch is, but our models are kind of indicating that Lake, Porter, and LaPorte counties could all get some accumulating snow. And I think back on our side of the lake, something like a half an inch to as much as 2 inches would be the range around here. So, and then there's another system coming down on Monday.
Oh, what are you trying to do to me, Tom?
I know.
What
just
are you doing?
A couple of these little things. None of these, you know, are storms of the century or even in remotely close to that. But, you know, when you get that first snow that covers the ground, we've had that lake effect situation a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But it looks kind of interesting. And also it challenges some of our drivers out there,
careful. Remind us, Tom, when do we usually get our first measurable snowfall? When is that?
You know, it's on or about December 3rd is the average date that we've come up with for the first inch of snow. The first flurries typically have occurred on or about October 31st. Mm-hmm. So we've already put down our first measurable snow. We had a tenth of an inch out of that late snow event a couple Fridays ago.
That's like 3 weeks ago. That was right around, or maybe even longer. That was right around Halloween. That window that we talk about. And it's really interesting, right? Because if you've spent decades in Chicago, that really does always happen right around there. Because October can be really beautiful, mm-hmm. and then like the last. As the leaves really do start to fall off the trees, mm-hmm. then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose for like a couple of days. Then it can be okay, as we saw.
Yeah.
I mean, especially of late, it's sort of intermittent. And this, I mean, you look outside right now, it's chilly, but it's not, it's not scary looking.
No, this is not untoward.
No, but it's going to get scary looking on Friday night.
Well, I'd call it a modest early season snow.
When does it melt, Tom? That's all I want to know.
Oh, come on.
Probably about
Let's
May.
Enjoy a
you
little
know,
bit.
No, I'm just kidding.
Now for 3 years I've hated that answer.
I'm sorry, Anna.
Oh,
I shouldn't have done that to you.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so it is going to be like in the mid to upper 30s on Monday, or like it's Saturday and Sunday, right?
Probably upper 30s on Sunday. Yeah, we'll get a little puff of Pacific air in here, but there'll be a wind to compromise that, so it won't feel as warm as it, is different from Saturday as it might have otherwise, because you'll develop some wind chill with the wind. But the thermometer reading will go up from, say, around 30 on Saturday to 38 Sunday, and then we'll probably have about a 36 Monday and fall back as that next little system comes in, pulls another lobe.
Now, how are you feeling about that lobe? Do you think that lobe is like a big lobe, a little lobe? What kind of a lobe is it?
What is a lobe?
It's a little pocket, if you will.
A little dangly diddle.
View it this way.
It's kind of what an earlobe.
There's a big reservoir of cold air up in Canada. And what's happening is we get this jet stream that's racing up the west coast of North America all the way up past the Arctic Circle. Then it does a big turn there and comes sweeping down into the center of the country. And so what that does is it drags cold air down, but it allows the West to remain unseasonably mild, even as we're chilly from, the Midwest eastward. There's a real distinct cutoff. But what that also means is when that buckle jet stream flattens out and turns more westerly, we'll start tapping that warm air that's sitting just out to the west of us. And so we ought to have, as we've suspected right along, a pretty interesting recovery from the chill and probably, one of these mild periods like the one we just got done with. But I think we may have at least a couple of weeks of the cold, by and large, to go through before we see that breakdown in that pattern.
Mm-hmm. How are the gloves working, Ro? Pretty good?
Well, okay, so...
holding
now,
up for you without here, the fingers in them?
It's a funny thing, Anna. Hold on 1 second. Let me just hold on.
You want to put him on?
Yeah, hold on.
So for those who didn't join us yesterday, Ro just sold some gloves that have the fingers in them, and they
look great in these, man. This is great. See all the guys selling men's stuff now at those kinds of stores, like your Nordstrom's, mm-hmm. or your whatever it is. They just play to your ego. That's always been the case, right? Oh, you look
sure
great in that. You know what? I'm telling you, it's like really, even though your hands are like, childishly small,
right.
Your hands look
smaller
really massive in that. So it's like really, I totally understand the president because I have all the same problems he does. Anyway, if you notice, what kind of gloves am I wearing today?
You didn't bring the fingerless ones.
No.
You got the full leather
gloves.
Covered fingers.
Yep.
No cutouts whatsoever.
None whatsoever. Because last night.
Got a little nippy.
It was.
I went out to dinner, and I had to park and this is always a great tragedy in my life when I have to park like two blocks away from the restaurant.
You almost consider and not going anymore.
I did consider. Because at one point I was going to call. I was having dinner with a couple of buddies, and I'm like, I'm thinking maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just call them and go, I can't make
home
it.
Home at this point.
It's too far away from the restaurant.
But think about how cute you'd look with showing up on your fingers, you know, those kid hipster gloves.
Yeah, and these two guys are like the least two guys I know who go, oh, you look so cute. You know, these are two gruff.
Chicago guys.
Yes, total Chicago guys who work in who started their career in the criminal justice system, and I guess both of them still work in it in one way or another.
Sure. Well, you know, Ro, the nice thing about guys like that is they're not looking at the aesthetics of what you're wearing.
You walk in, they're not
practically minded, you know, because they've been out in the elements with this stuff too, and they realize the most important thing is that you stay warm through the whole thing.
But you don't think they'd notice him if he wore these super hipster gloves?
Well,
they'd be like, where are the fingers?
And
the
they would actually, is a particularly good buster of one's ball. And so there is a
LeVar Ball?
LeVar Ball. And so I was very quick to rip the fingerless gloves off before I saw, because they were the back of the restaurant when I got there. So I was able to like get in, kind of get almost, I started taking off all my clothes at that point. It was so cold though, is my point. Walking the two blocks.
I know. We've been spoiled.
And I stopped and I thought, because it was wind chilly, right? And
chilly. I like that.
I had to like put my hands in my pocket with the gloves, and that wasn't even working. And I'm like, wrap the glove around my fingers? What do I do?
I know. I walked from our lobby out to my car, and I thought, I don't know whether I'm going to make this or not. And I'm thinking, what a pansy I've turned into here. You know, I remember those cold spells back in the 70s. Now that those things built character,
Oh yeah.
You went out in those things in your car. You did.
But we were kids back then, Tom. This is different now.
I know.
This is, you know, these are life-ending events for people
it's
like
true.
You and me.
I know. You.
This is too much, man.
I hear you.
Now you're grown adults.
Yeah. Wearing a hat, your brain feels like it froze or like you got Botox in your whole face.
It's amazing, isn't it, how as you get older, your tolerance to cold diminishes. I think there's truth to that.
I'm feeling that already.
Are you? Well, Violetta, my gosh, what are you now? 23? I'm not going to ask your age, but I...
25 and very upset about it.
Yeah. But
have you had Botox all over your face?
No, I could just imagine. That's what it feels like. Very stiff. I'm like, I get back inside. I'm like, my face is slowly melting. I can feel my expressions returning.
Wow. Does that freeze, really?
I get that's. It certainly looks like it does.
Wow! You
know, and often
it
freezes people in an expression of great anger. I don't know why that is.
Well, because they just got poked with a needle.
No, it looks like scared sometimes when it's not done right.
Can you imagine if a door slams in your face? It could crack your face. You know, with a frozen Botox.
Who would know though? That's what I was like. when you see these like heavily Botoxed people, and you're like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
Don't I look fresh? Yeah. No.
I think when you see folks like that, you think to yourself, We've got to get a life. I mean, we've got to quit worrying about what we look at sometimes, because sometimes people are beautiful just the way they look. They don't need Botox.
Sweet.
Well, don't you think, Anna?
Come on, Tom.
I think it's true. I think women are under unbelievable pressure, though.
I agree.
In particular.
I think women...
But they put the pressure on themselves, do they not?
Partially.
Oh, I think it's the culture, don't you? I mean, look at... I was thinking last weekend we went to the Emmy Awards program.
Uh-huh.
You know, women
this is the wrong place to go and talk to women about their appearance.
Well, you know what? Everybody looked beautiful, but I thought, you know, the women disproportionately had to really give some thought to what they're doing. We just go out and rent a tux, you know? It's easy for us. Women have so much more to think about, and I think the culture superimposes that on them. I think it's, you know, we ought to come up with a female counterpart to the tux.
Yeah,
and I know there is.
Well, you saw, what was it? Hope Hicks took all that heat because she wore a tuxedo, remember?
Yeah.
One of the president's events.
Yeah, but
Hope
Hicks is a naturally beautiful, stunning woman who was doing it as sort of a commentary, and I'm so hot, I can pull off a tux. I think is exactly what was going on
there. I think it worked on a lot of people. I mean, Ellen DeGeneres pulls off kind of a similar look. And
that's a good point.
There's
a good example.
Looks awesome.
Yeah, and good for Ellen.
She's going at it for a different tack, I think, than Hope Hicks is doing.
She still wants to look good, and she does.
She does, but I'm just saying that Hope Hicks is that, I think that's a little bit of that, like, Diane Keaton kind of thing. you know, strikingly beautiful woman who's like, hey, watch this. And then puts on like guy's clothes and you're like, I don't know. She's so hot. You know, it's there's a that's I'm just the inner guy. I don't know. Can I say this now? I'm not even sure I can still say it. I just it was
really,
really funny.
Offended.
I just finished. Of course you are. I just finished the I had to do a module of training for my other job. Mm-hmm. And they like all the employees now have to go through this thing. And it was like my boss over there was like, he sent me the link to it. And he goes, you got to do this like in 24 hours because we're beyond compliance.
So harassment
was it
covered?
It was harassment and it was business conduct.
What did
and
you think of that program, bro? Do you think it helped?
Did you get the right answers?
All I know is it's produced by one of the greatest entertainment companies in the world, and I was shocked at the bad production values. That was the thing that I did not understand.
They usually outsource that stuff.
They may have, but it was like a whole, like, it was. You could tell these are all people that were playing the part that didn't quite make the cut on what they were going for, but the producers, the casting directors were like, I'll tell you what, you're not going to be perfect for this for Transformers 16, but I'll tell you what, we're working on a sexual harassment industrial you'd be perfect for. Yeah. And so they were, it basically, though, when I was done with it, I was like afraid, like I just got done with it right before I came in here. Uh-huh. I'm like afraid to say hello to anybody now.
Right.
It's like
you might be interpreted as offending somebody.
I've heard from several male friends that they're afraid of picture taking time, that they don't know where to put their hands and what to do with them, and they don't want to offend anybody.
No,
so
that's right.
Sort of are second guessing things that used to be very normal.
Yeah. All right. Well, very quickly here, this snow on Friday into Saturday, how far west will it be?
Or is
it
just long leg? You know what? There'll be light snow or flurries throughout the whole area. So, I mean, it could reach out to the Mississippi River. And just beyond. But the farther you get away from the city and the lake, the lighter it will be.
Okay. So it's kind of the lake effect portion of it, so along the coastline.
That's the most important. Okay. The system snow, the track in this is not right for us to get huge system snow numbers. You've got to enhance the snowfall with lake effect, and that's what's going to happen in parts of the Indiana snow belt.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll have more on this tomorrow, too. We have a chance to watch this another 24 hours.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm very excited about this.
I'm
24
sure
hours.
You are.
Here's Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spot.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy.
Very special edition of News or Ruse.
You know how they take hit shows, sometimes they move them around in their time slots and confuse everybody? Well, that's what we're doing here with News or Ruse.
Normally in what, the 6 o'clock hour?
I know, I just heard it. I'm like,
and sometimes, normally it's at 5:40 on Thursdays, and then sometimes it moved to 6. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen this in the television. They always do this right before they cancel the show. And I don't want to cancel the show. I like
this
show.
Is this a rerun?
Seen it 100 times.
This is not a rerun. This is a very special... very special edition of News or Ruse, because it is the Mark Sapelsa farewell edition of News or Ruse. I know.
Aww.
And Mark, I mean, here's the damnedest thing. Every time I see that promo for A Farewell to Mark.
I know. It makes you kind of tear up a little bit.
It's like, did he die? What is
it? Exactly what I've been saying. Can we stop running that? I'm still alive. Thank you.
It's a very special farewell to Mark on Friday night. And I'm like, and when you see that, and they have you kind of grayed out, right? In
a
black and white thing, like remember Mark when he was alive? And then they're going to do this on the whole 9 o'clock news on Friday. What are they doing?
I think it's going to be a half hour of Tom Skilling, then a half hour of me, and then a half hour of Tom.
That makes sense.
Well, that's
because it's going to snow on Friday night. So everybody's going to be hysterical.
I'm telling you, exactly. Listen, I work in the house that Tom built, so we have to give Tom equal time on Friday.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know what, Mark? I'm going to let you win today.
Oh, wow.
Man, that coming from you.
I want you, since you're leaving the journalism world, I want you to blow this thing completely. That's what I think is the best way to do this.
Well,
and then we can claim that you had to leave your job. You know, and when I tell this story in 5 years and people don't remember, which is now a great political trick, he was playing News or Ruse with us, and then he did so poorly that they fired him the next day.
Pretty much crushed his career from that point forward.
He was going to show up on Monday, and then suddenly...
He's like embarrassed.
See what I did there? See how I worked that all out?
Yeah, I don't think
we worked it out fast, though, because we went right from firing him to a good goodbye party. I remember that, because I'll be telling stories about that in the future, too. So I had to make sure that the narrative is complete.
What is planned for tomorrow, though, Mark? Do you know?
No. I've been told, yeah, I mean, I think there are various surprises. I see a lot of people huddled in edit bays. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be bloopers or tears or laughter or something on tape somewhere throughout the day, you know, 5, 6, 9, 10, something. But I don't know.
That's going to be fun to watch.
You know what? You may not get a lot of news tomorrow, but at least...
Who needs it?
You'll find out.
The news is really creepy now anyway, so this is much better if we could just...
You'll find out a little more about me, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. That'll be fun.
Oh, man. That's a teaser.
Mark, I thoroughly enjoyed your story with Cochran this morning about you completely dismissing, at the time, State Senator Barack Obama.
Oh, my God.
Completely avoided the interview.
Story.
Yes, I could not pronounce his name, so it was like, Barack, what? And I was at a church. Al Sharpton was there right along the Ryan. I think it might have been just a little bit south of Sox Park. And I was there with Channel 5 at the time, maybe late 90s, and I think he was getting... Barack Obama was getting ready to maybe run against Bobby Rush. So maybe 2019, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I looked at my watch. And I was like, oh, my gosh, 10 o'clock is rolling around quickly here. It's about, you know, 9:06. I better hustle back to the truck, feed in this Al Sharpton soundbite, and get ready for my live shot. And all of a sudden, there's this long, loping senator from downstate Springfield running after me. Mark, Mr. Sapelis, Mark, I've got a few issues I'd like to talk to you about. And I was like, oh, not now. I'm deadlining. I said in my head. I turn around, I stop, I go, what's his name? He's that
smart.
Because
no one can pronounce it.
No, nobody could do it at the time. And he was like, it's the Harvard guy.
No, they can now.
Yeah,
Generally, it's that. Is that Barack Obama or that Obama?
Right. Yeah. And so we shook hands. And, look, I really would like to take a couple of minutes to tell you about my issues. I'm thinking about running. I cut him off. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I am deadlining. I really need to get back to the truck here. I got to go. See ya. Bye. And I blew him off.
Yeah. You know, he only had 5 elections in his career, right?
And that was the one he lost.
Right?
And the only
many.
One he lost was we ran for state senator, won that.
Okay.
Then he ran for Congress, lost that while he was a state senator, then ran for the U.S. Senate while he was a state senator, made that. And then 2 presidentials. So if you stop and you look at
he's Ted Williams.
It was a short but very effective career. I would
say it worked for him.
Look at all right. Like we've got to play News
or
Ruse.
All right, I want to hear more.
We don't have time for this. We got to you know what? Watch tomorrow night. They'll tell that story over and over and over again.
Tell you about the time when I anyway.
All right, here we go. Here's Natalie is playing with Judy. Jake is playing with Violetta, and Dan is playing with Mark. All right, Natalie, you there?
Yes, I am.
And here's what everybody's playing for, by the way. I should mention this. Package to escape reality in Chicago for you and up to 5 friends. Choose from a variety of immersive theme rooms and 60 minutes to solve the puzzles, overcome the challenges, and escape. The escapereality.com/Chicago. That's what we did. We did something similar to this a couple of months ago. It was very fun. And also a holiday happiness box featuring Sweet Alley's sweet and savory gluten-free treats, Sweet Alley's Bakeries in Hinsdale and Glenview for your holiday celebrations. And that's what the runners-up get as well.
Yeah. And again, when we did that, I believe I won.
Yeah, all right, okay. Uh-huh. Here we go. Natalie, Natalie, you're going to have to put up with this with Judy, so
okay,
good luck
Nat,
to you.
Okay, let's go.
All right, here's your first headline. Kids work harder when dressed like Batman, study says.
That is so believable, isn't it?
It sounds like news to me.
I think so.
There you go.
You're absolutely right.
Look at that.
Man. Okay. Jake. Is it Jake and Violetta? Pigeons can discriminate abstract concepts of space and time, study shows.
I hate pigeons. So I'm going to say no.
What do you think? No? I don't know.
You think they can? You should go opposite me. Let's go news.
Space news.
Thank
well
God
done,
you did.
Jake.
Oh, my God.
Nicely played.
I just want to say that was pretty amazing because there was every opportunity that she was going to blow you out of the water on the first question by just because of her own hatred of a pigeon.
I hate all birds.
All right, you got it right. All right, Dan and Mark, here's your headline. Russian 7-year-old gets military draft orders.
Oh, man. What do you think, Dan?
Well, in Russia, anything's possible.
It's true.
I would say news.
News it is. Way to go, Dan.
Look at that.
I wasn't convinced.
I wasn't either.
You know, I like how the callers are so much better than the professionals.
Absolutely.
That's my favorite thing.
Absolutely.
All right, back to Natalie and Judy.
Natalie, Judy, here is your headline. Speaking of professionals, firefighters free YouTube prankster who cemented head into microwave. Yikes.
There's so much.
I want to believe that. I really want to believe that that's true. What do you think?
If you cement your head, though, I mean, how do you breathe?
And, I mean, it's a microwave.
That's why
you
got to call the firefighters.
It?
I'll tell you that right now.
All right. What do you say, Judy?
I think it's a ruse, but what do you think?
I'll go with you because you're the champ.
I'm really not sure about this one, but okay.
I need an answer.
Ruse! Oh, my God.
That really happened.
Really happened, yeah.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah.
What a knucklehead.
Jeez.
Or a cement head.
I see what he did.
Good night. I'm done.
All right, here we go. Jake and Violetta, here's your headline. Ryan Reynolds to voice Detective Pikachu in live-action Pokemon movie.
I'm still confused about the pigeons, to be honest.
Not the microwave.
Like Pokemon either.
I call it ruse. I don't know. What do you think?
I say news.
News?
But it's your game, Jake. I'm just playing.
I need an answer. News or ruse?
Ruse.
Ruse?
Oh.
Should have gone with Violetta. God. I've never said those words ever. Should have gone with Violetta. Said no one that. Ever. Yeah. All right. Here we go. This could be a commanding lead for Dan and Mark.
Right, here it is, guys.
Yes.
Christmas gift inadvertently sets off 3-hour riot at Florida prison.
Sounds plausible because, as they say, anything can happen in Florida.
Yeah, they might be using that, you know, to make us think that way, though. So
that's true. That's true.
All right, news or ruse?
It's about time a ruse came up. I go with ruse.
Ruse it is.
Wow!
Nice
what
way to spit it out.
Wow, that was exactly how that played. Wow.
Seriously, Dan?
Both the Florida and the fact that there hadn't been a ruse. That was great.
All right, you guys may not actually have to answer another question because Natalie and Judy and Jake and Violetta have to get both these right just to stay in it on the other side. But first, Violetta's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
The set, the music, the movies. Watch the Family Classics Christmas special featuring the classic Scrooge, hosted by Dean Richards, woo-hoo! Friday at 7, WGN-TV.
Oh, that's a great way
that's
to go right
be fun.
There. For all of us who grew up on Channel 9 and Fraser Thomas and whole Family Classics thing, nothing quite like it. And Mark Sapelsa from Channel 9, almost formerly of Channel 9, is joining us to play News or Ruse. It's a special Thursday at 4 o'clock edition because Mark's got to go to work after this immediately.
Right.
And he now leads. He and his contestant.
Dan's leading this.
Dan has been pretty good. I don't want to take it away from Dan. But what we have here now is we got to have Natalie and Judy and Jake and Viola, they both have to get this right just to stay in it. Otherwise, Mark and Dan they just sit back and just watch this happen.
Yeah, kind of like the Patriots.
And by the way, Dan, you know, there's a job opening at Channel 9 I just saw in the paper.
Uh-huh.
So if you're thinking about it, maybe this could be good for you.
You know your news.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, no thanks. Not it was sort of like that, yeah. No, I'd rather pick up garbage. All right, here we go. Here is your headline, Natalie and Judy. Stop. Hoarding. Oh, this is. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the Orion Samuelson round. I almost forgot.
You got to cede to Orion.
Sorry. Oh, yeah.
Stop hoarding ancient bones, plead archaeologists.
Sounds like news to me, Judy.
Well, we're going to go with your response because
that's smart.
You're the one who's going to win.
Okay. Dude.
All right.
She got it.
Yeah. Yep. They stay
nicely
in it.
Done.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. This is for you, Violetta and Jake.
Denver denies using flamethrowers during homeless sweeps.
Oh, boy.
Well, whatever Violetta says, because I messed up.
No, you're not doing this to me, buddy.
Go do it.
Come
do
on,
it.
Pipe. Pomegranate.
What was our last one? Let's
Denver
go.
Denies using flamethrowers during homeless sweep.
I'd say ruse, just to be crazy. But all Dan, right. You pick. Or who's my partner, Dennis?
I'll go with that, ruse.
Jake.
Jake.
very well done. But, you know, she connects so well with other people.
Yeah, all right, Chelsea, you're out. Yeah.
That was a Channel 9 story, actually.
Yeah,
that's
the
damnedest thing.
TV.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, and now, here you go. Dan and Mark, you got to get this one right, and you win the whole thing. This will be a very fitting tribute to Mark's incredible journalism career.
Cheetos pop-up restaurant opens in New York City.
Cheetos pop-up restaurant open in New York City.
Yeah, I love Cheetos, but I don't know how that could be possible. What do you think, Mark?
You know, yeah, we've done a couple of pop-up stories that seemed unusual, and I cannot remember if it was Cheetos or not, so I'm going to go with your gut on this and call it a, what do you think, ruse?
I think that's a ruse.
Look at that. Seriously,
happening? Boy, I would hate to see defeat grabbed from the clutches of victory, but I'm going to do it anyway. Here we go. Here it is. And again, this is just Natalie and Judy and Dan and Mark. Here we go. Natalie and Judy. Outrage as Philly pushes through ban on bulletproof glass in crime-plagued neighborhood shops.
I missed the beginning of that. Can you do it again?
Outrage as Philadelphia pushes through ban on bulletproof glass in crime-plagued neighborhood shops.
Sounds like news, Judy.
It does sound like news.
It does. Yeah, it sounds like it to me, too.
It does, yeah. Okay, now I'm suspect.
All right, I need an answer.
What do you think, Nat?
I still think news.
All right, news.
Yeah, got it. Ooh, Dan and Mark, you guys. Natalie. Wait, is this to stay in it? Or this is, okay.
Yeah.
Is this to lose it?
This is to win it. This is to lose it, not to win.
Here it is. Christmas market in Germany begs visitors to stop coming.
Wow. You know, it actually sounds newsy because maybe it's so darn jammed. I don't know about begs.
I was at the Christmas market on Sunday by Daily Center, and it was jammed. You couldn't even move.
I know. It just tells you about the economy right there. And we brought Christmas back because, remember, they canceled Christmas for many years prior to that. I believe Barack Obama canceled it, so I know how that goes.
Only
because he's mad at Mark about blowing him off.
Yep.
All right. Is it news or ruse?
What do you think, Dan?
I think it's news.
There you go.
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Natalie and Judy, here is your headline. Losers are more likely to believe in conspiracy theories, study finds.
Did you say losers?
Losers, yes.
How do you quantify them?
Exactly. It's
look
exactly
up Breitbart.
I think you know when you see them.
Look
but
up
that's
Breitbart.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know it's true, but I don't know that headline is
true. All right,
true.
News
all
or
right.
Rose?
What do you think, Natalie?
You know what? I'm going to go news.
You sure? Okay.
I think so.
News.
Woo! Judy's losing her touch over there. Dan and Mark.
I'm sorry. We're still in it.
All right.
And by we, I mean me, Kimo Sabe.
Dan and Mark, here's the headline. Florida. Is that what I'm doing around Florida? Mm-hmm. Florida busboy pleads guilty to stealing 900 pounds of dishwashing soap and 400 pounds of potatoes. That's a great one.
Mark, you're the news guy. Have you come across this one yet? Or?
I don't think we did come across that one. Hang on. Let me think.
Although that is, you know what I like about that, Dan? I like that question because what you've just done there is you've finally asked a question of a real journalist. Do you know that one? Because if you don't know that one, because no one ever asked that on this show ever.
Don't.
No one's ever gone, hey, Judy, have you seen that one? No one ever does it. Violetta, have you seen that one? No one. No one ever says that.
Try to rationalize the headlines.
But anyway, that's it. So that's the question. News or ruse?
That feels like ruse.
I would go with ruse, too. There has hardly been any ruse questions.
So. Way to call it out, guys.
There you go.
Stand in it.
All right, here we go. Back to Natalie and Judy. Angry McDonald's Nuggets man charged with drunk driving after ordering 200 hash browns.
This is news. I saw this one.
Woo, you go, girl. Yep.
Man,
look at that.
Going on for a while. Guys, here's your headline. New NASA tool can tell you which glacier may flood your city as the planet warms.
Haven't heard that one, Dan, but...
But it makes a lot of sense.
It does.
I didn't need a news or ruse.
Go, Dan. What do you
think? I'm going to go news, right. I think.
Look at it.
All right, here we go. Dan. Natalie and Judy, here's your headline.
You said you were going to Winnipeg. Calgary boys upset over trip to Disney World. Sorry, you said you're going to Winnipeg is in quotes. Calgary boys.
You said we're going to Winnipeg. Calgary boys upset over Disney World.
Trip. Perfectly clear.
I'm so confused.
One more time, please.
Here, I'll try it. You said we were going to Winnipeg. Calgary boys upset over trip to Disney World. Is the headline.
There we go.
Okay.
So they went to Disney. They went to Disney World,
but they were supposed to go to Calgary, they thought, and they're upset about going to Winnipeg. They're upset about
going. And they're
going
from Calgary, and you know.
You have a 50-50 chance.
Mm-hmm. Should we let them? God, it's so poorly written. Somebody must have written it.
I know, and it was in quotes, which...
The question is, was it the people writing our headlines or the dopes writing that headline?
I know, right?
You guys are too good for that. I say news.
You say it's news? Okay.
I say it's news. You guys would have written it.
Wow, that is something.
Giving credit to our producer, Jeff Carlin, there, too. I like that.
All right, here we go. Apology after Japanese train departs 20 seconds early.
You know... Dan, I don't know if that's actually true. However, I was in Japan once, and there was a train a minute late, and they were apologizing profusely. So my hunch is it's news.
Gotta be. And don't the Japanese apologize.
So right. You know what? Just right. Stop being a newsman, okay? You're done.
All right, here we go. Back to Natalie and Judy. Here we go. The Pope is giving away a white and gold Lamborghini because of ISIS.
Because of ISIS.
Well, does he have a Lamborghini?
I don't know. I got to get it, but it's... I need news or roast.
Got to finish this game somehow, guys.
I feel like we've said news the last 15 times.
Perfect. All right, what are you going to say?
Ruse.
Oh, the Pope is doing it. Right.
The Pope is
this is for the win. Here you go.
All right.
Guys, very important. Listen up. Elderly man behind the wheel of Smash claims modern pedals are stupid.
I don't even know what Smash is.
It's like a crash.
Gotcha. Ooh, what do you think?
Can you repeat it, please?
Absolutely. Elderly man behind the wheel of Smash claims modern pedals are stupid.
So he got in a crash and he said modern pedals are stupid.
Yes. And he's elderly.
Yeah.
I think we go with that one, don't we, Mark?
News it is.
Yes! That's a big win.
Well
Judy
done.
Did let you win that one, of course, according to Judy, but it took forever to do it.
So. It took forever to let her guard down.
Yeah. The victory's in the waiting.
Exactly. I suppose.
Sorry, Natalie.
All right, but I got to tell you, Natalie, you were great. That was awesome.
Man, Dan and Natalie, you guys really need to go on, Price
Jeopardy.
Is Right or Wheel of Fortune or something.
Seriously, good.
Jeopardy.
A package to escape reality in Chicago is what Dan's going to get. Choose from a variety of immersive theme rooms and 60 minutes to solve the puzzles, overcome the challenges, and escape. Book at escapereality.com/Chicago. And also the Holiday Happiness Box. Everybody gets that. Featuring Sweet Alley's sweet and savory gluten-free treats. Sweet Alley's Bakeries in Hinsdale and Glenview for your holiday celebrations. All right, Mark. We will talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Okay, guys.
All right. There he goes.
Love you all.
Mark
love
Sapelsa,
you too,
we
Mark.
Love you more. Here is, we've got Judy actually standing by with the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. All right, it's the Rogue Con Show with Anna DeBlatsis right here on 720 WGN. And all the crazy stuff happening in Washington. Here's something crazy happening on the West Coast.
Yeah.
These wildfires they've arisen very, very quickly here and are devastating large areas, including one fire is the size of the entire Capitol. It's the entire Washington, D.C. by acreage. One of these fires, and our own Alex Stone from ABC News is in the middle of all of this right now on the front lines. Let's talk about all the way up from Santa Barbara County down through Los Angeles County, these fires exist, right?
Well, now down to the Mexican border. San Diego's exploding right now because the Santa Ana winds that we thought we were going to get here ended up going south, and now they're blowing down in San Diego, and they've got fires popping up. We know that one of their fires, the Lilac Fire in San Diego, has lost 5 homes already today. And the fire is racing. They're activating military aircraft down there from Camp Pendleton and other aircraft to try to tackle those as they're taking off. And then up here, I'm on the Thomas Fire just north of Ventura where I am at this point. I'm watching firefighters, and they are working hard at the moment. Even though the winds didn't kick up to 80 miles an hour as they had been predicted that they would. It's still very, very active here. There's a lot of fire and a lot of progress, forward progress being made with the flames. This is still a very active firefight here.
Alex, I was reading that fire officials had ran out of colors because of the seriousness of those Santa Ana winds that you're talking about. Originally, they had red was the highest, and they've created purple to indicate, you know, the most extremely, the worst, the winds. That these winds have been so terrible and so brutal that they're moving this so quickly. Normally, when these things happen, you see the planes go up and they shoot that fire retardant material down to try to contain it. But is that impossible with these types of winds?
Yeah, they can't get up. And if there aren't winds, then it's too smoky and they can't fly and get that FOSS check down, and they don't have the ability to try to create the lines around them. Now, they did have a window yesterday in L.A. with that the fire that got so much attention in Bel Air. That one they were able to contain rather quickly. They're still working on actual containment with physical fire line, but they got red fire retardant all the way around it quite quickly because that was a smaller fire. That was a pretty small fire in the sense it was 450 acres. This one is 100,000 acres now, and it's putting off a lot more smoke, and they're having a tough time getting aircraft in between that and the winds. And even though it's not 80 miles an hour, it's still rather windy here today, making it hard for them to fly any kind of aircraft. I don't think I've seen a helicopter at all today. I haven't seen a fixed-wing aircraft at all today. It is all on the ground that these firefighters are working. And really, as this is moving in now to towns in southern Santa Barbara County and to Carpinteria and to other towns marching north, their job is to go and try to save buildings and save lives. At some point when these winds die down, they will begin actually fighting the fire and digging fire line, and it will work. Until then, this thing just jumps over anything they build, and it doesn't do any good, and it continues on and then threatens more people. They're just working, trying to make sure people don't die and trying to make sure buildings don't go down, even though some homes have burned. It's a tough fight right now.
God bless those firefighters. You know, imagine what that work is like. I can only imagine.
And they're coming from everywhere. We run into firefighters from Colorado, from Oregon, from Washington. We found last night a Santa Rosa fire where they were needing the help 2 months ago, and everybody went to them. Now Santa Rosa firefighters are here trying to save Southern California. It's all hands on deck. And I'm watching neighbors right now here along Highway 1 that they are out with shovels and coolers full of water in some cases. Others have buckets of water. And they're putting out hot spots right outside of their homes. They're trying to fight the fire themselves because there just aren't enough firefighters.
And it is just such a massive effort. What does the forecast look like in terms of wind over the next couple of days?
Well, we think that the main Santa Anas are going to begin tapering off now, but in the Santa Ana Index...
Let's explain that, by the way, for people not from the West Coast, what the Santa Ana wind is.
It's a wind that comes out of the desert. In this case, it's actually coming from Utah, and it spins and it goes the opposite way from the normal winds. Normal winds come in off the ocean and come inland with quite a bit of moisture in them. The Santa Ana winds go backwards. It's when there's a system usually sitting over Salt Lake City and in that area, and it spins there and then shoots the winds off to Southern California. And as they go through the desert, they heat up. These are starting so cold out in Salt Lake that they're not getting that hot. They're in the low 70s. But during the summertime, they heat up to 105, 110 from friction through the desert. And then they come in with fury and blow hard out toward the ocean. But they're so dry because they're coming out of the desert, and they dry out making that trip to Southern California. So it's all backwards. But it looks like that through at least the middle of next week, we're going to continue to have Santa Ana wind. Not 80 miles an hour, but it's going to be gusty. It's going to be tough. The red flag fire warnings have been extended through at least Saturday night now. They were supposed to expire tonight, and they may very well keep going into next week.
And this will impact, as we're talking about now in Southern California, the Santa Barbara to San Diego is a gigantic swath. Is it going to go north of there?
It may very well. We don't know. I mean, this thing has been growing rapidly, and we don't know what other fires may pop up, that every day there are new fires. But when it comes to the Thomas fire here, that we hope, and nobody wants it to keep going north, but it is. It's kind of northwest, just based on the topography around here. Mm-hmm. That it can't go into the ocean, so it's burning where it finds the least resistance, and that is the fuel that it finds, and that is leading it into these towns now in southern Santa Barbara County. But they're trying to make a stand. They're trying to stop this thing, and we'll see tonight if they have any success. As the winds have been calmer than they expected today, but still, it's a big fight on their hands.
Boy, you hope so. And I know that area pretty well, and the where the fire is moving now in Carpinteria, I think we're near where you are, and north, and as it moves north from there, it's right along the freeway, heavily populated area. Extremely Carpinteria and beyond from there. You're really dealing with a number of homes that this is moving close to. This isn't farm country like Ohio, a little more, people more acreage there. The homes are closer together, and there are a lot of them in this area.
Yeah, they thought they were going to lose Ojai last night. I spent much of this morning in Ojai, and they got very lucky because the winds didn't come up. Ojai is completely pinched off and surrounded by flames and by fire, but they were able to stop it from coming down into Ojai, and they really thought they were going to lose the town this morning. But as it heads north, it's going to be getting into more, going to get into the national forest, and it's going to be a lot more dense timber that it could get into, and then there's no stopping it. Then you got a problem, because it's, at least as it's coming into towns and roads and whatnot, there are natural breaks there. Mm-hmm. But once it gets into the national forest, then it's it takes off, and it's off to the races. So they need to get it stopped before it gets in there.
It jumped the freeway, we heard, over the last 24 hours. Didn't it go over the 101?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I'm on the side where it jumped with the homes that are right along the water. It definitely did jump, and that shows you these embers, once they get picked up in the air, with the speed and the way this is going, that they are jumping 10 miles ahead. A live ember gets in the air. It blows in the wind, lands 10 miles away, and starts another fire. So they're getting spot fires all over the place, including on the other side of the freeway when embers were flying over and then started raging on the other side.
All right. Alex Stone, thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, guys.
Alex Stone, ABC News, covering the California wildfires, and there are a lot of them. And this has happened relatively quickly. And you saw those images yesterday of people stuck on the freeway in California while fire was in the hillside above them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a panicker. I'd have really been a panicker right about that.
Well, you hear people saying, on social media, there's those games you play. What would you grab out of your house in the case of a fire? And unfortunately, they're all playing that game right now. It's devastating to think that you just got to leave and you don't know when you come back if your house is going to be there or not.
Yeah. All right. Violetta Powdermatic's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN.
Sorry, just crossed my social media feed. Did you hear that Starbucks is unveiling the new Christmas tree frappuccino?
Christmas is back.
Thank God. I brought it back.
We were missing it.
The fake war on Christmas is finally over.
We are here to celebrate the birth of Santa Claus.
And for that, doing that, we'll have a Christmas tree frappuccino. If you'd like one. It's only 4 days, ending Monday. So it's kind of like the unicorn one. You remember that crazy drink?
I just want to say that that Starbucks must be one of those snowflake companies because I'm looking at it here. I've got the I got the Starbucks cup in front of me, and I'm looking for any kind of symbolism here that that is going to play well in Alabama, and I don't see any of it.
No crosses, no religious.
No, I see a bird with a leaves in its mouth, two doves flying around with, and I don't know, are these? Richard Roper joins us right now.
Is that? I was just at Starbucks doing a little mission for you guys. Okay, first of all, why do we only care about Starbucks cups? Nobody ever gets worked up about the Dunkin' Donuts cups or the Intelligentsia cups. But I will say that I just bought some nice Christmas blend, a pound of Christmas blend coffee at Starbucks, and a gift card. And you know what the gift card says?
What?
Merry Christmas. They're saying Merry Christmas again.
It's back.
See?
There's more Christmas in Starbucks. Last year, I bought an advent calendar in Starbucks, counting down days to Christmas in the form of a Christmas tree. And then you'd open it up, and every day, there's a little prize sometimes, and it would be like a little single shot thing of coffee or a little gift card.
I love those advent calendars. Mm.
They're the most Christmassy of all the vendors.
Bet they didn't have them in the Obama years. That's what we decided.
That's right.
That's for sure.
As you recall, my predecessors.
He's gone to that now.
I'm gonna even when he was announcing the Jerusalem thing, it was like all about his predecessors. I'm like, you're basically lighting a match in the Middle East, and it's about your predecessors. How about just making it about yourself? How about just go, this is what I decided to do. Mm-hmm. And let's say, and let the chips fall where they may. Maybe your predecessors might have known something that that maybe you don't.
Right.
It's anyway, like, the point is that I'm looking at the Starbucks cup here. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to the top five in
just
a second.
It's a beauty.
And but the problem is that the hands are
it's
not.
It's very handsy, isn't it?
It's very handsy.
Oh, jeez.
It's like.
Is it going to resign?
It's like Al Franken at a USO tour.
And the mermaid doesn't look happy.
It is. It's like Creepy DJ with Taylor Swift.
Hey, that's right. Coming up at 5:20.
Oh, no.
He paid her the dollar.
That's the problem I have here, though, is that I can't determine that, you know, whether these are even human hands, let alone which gender the hands are. There's hands here that have that actually have nail polish on them, like with the fingers. But I don't know. Is that a boy or a girl? I don't know, because it's Starbucks. I don't know.
Wow. I don't think it matters. And there's another one cradling a cup of a latte, looks like. But it looks like it has marshmallows.
Yeah, but then the one holding the marshmallows, yeah, it's got like pointed fingers and the alien connecting of the ring.
That's
and
for
middle.
People who have that webbing issue. Do you ever meet people who have like the web fingers?
No. Yeah,
it's a slippery slope. They always say, next thing you know, it'll be bestiality. They always say that's the gateway to that.
Gateway.
That's some sort of merman. Aquaman.
Yeah.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah, and then there's a I think there's too many fingers on the person putting the star on the tree. There's a lot of things going on here I can't figure out. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the doves have fingers, not wings.
Oh,
that's
geez.
True. It is very, if you look
freaks,
at it right.
All freaks.
It does look like it's all about the hands.
Well,
it's exactly.
Subliminal
it's a season
messaging.
Of giving.
Did Picasso do that cup?
Mm. They don't happen to have any of those frogs that have been made gay by the water, do they?
Oh, my goodness.
I think you made that up.
It did not make it up. That dude said it. There's a radio talk show host who's claiming, who's a nationally syndicated radio talk show host, which tells you something about that, that is claiming that the water supply is making frogs gay because it's a whole thing to feminize America.
Mm.
To make us okay with equal.
Yeah, to make us okay with gay marriage.
Yeah.
Anyway,
this
if you want to try this Frappuccino, the Christmas tree one, it's peppermint mocha cream Frappuccino base.
And that's just the base. Wow.
Then they've got some whipped cream.
It's a calorie count on that, baby.
Wow. Matcha.
It'll be almost half as much as President Trump eats in a McDonald's order.
That's right. So right. I'm so excited. But it's made in America.
I'm so excited.
Except for the beef that's coming.
Physical on Monday. He's getting it physical on Monday.
Are they announcing that he's doing it? He is going to do it.
I believe that has now been announced.
Are they going to tell us the results? Public.
He's going to be the most healthy human being in the history of humans.
Who's doing it? Is it the wacky doctor?
The one who said he was in amazingly excellent shape.
But you're right. They're going to show that Aquaman dude. They'll show like his physical
Patch
results.
Adam.
He's 6'5", 230.
Here's a close-up at his stomach. It's like a Photoshop six-pack.
2% body fat.
Guy's lean and mean.
Unusually well endowed.
I see his only problem is he's too big.
All right. Here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
We will do that.
Number five.
Police officer was shot late Wednesday during a foot chase on the far south side. Plainclothes Calumet District officers saw a group of people acting suspiciously around 11:30 last night at a park near the intersection of 95th and Calumet. And then two suspects took, this is according to the police report, two suspects took off and fired shots. Now, Eddie Johnson, the police superintendent, now luckily the police officer is going to recover from his wounds, but he was shot in the hand. I should mention that. This is Eddie Johnson, though, this morning responding to the shooter that they have in custody. Listen to this.
Yeah, he shot at the officer, struck him in the hand, the officer went down. While the officer was lying on the ground, this individual continued firing, obviously trying to kill this officer. Mm-hmm. He's 25 years old, has 15 total adult arrests, 4 felony convictions. His last conviction was in 2016 for possession of a handgun by a felon that was on parole.
And he was out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow.
With a gun. And here's the alderman, Matt O'Shea, from the 19th.
This guy was sentenced less than a year and a half ago to 4 years. Multiple
felony convictions involving guns. And he tried to assassinate a Chicago police officer last night. When is this going to stop? When are judges and prosecutors going to step up? Someone have an answer for me for that? We almost lost a Chicago police officer last night.
Calling very, out. Yeah. Very emotional.
That's an excellent point because that's well, you find so many of these cases that you people have got multiple. It literally is the same. You know, they always say it's like, you know, there's 8%, but it's like the same 8% over and over and over again of these men and some women, but, you know, mostly young men that have been in trouble since they were 12 years old and they are on the street because they just keep getting popped back out. And it's, we've got to do something about it. Now, you know, this whole idea of like incarcerating. We are incarcerating a lot of people in the state of Illinois. We're incarcerating a lot of people in the United States of America. As a matter of fact, we have the highest incarceration rate of any industrialized nation in the world. Yeah. But we also have incarcerations for things that make little sense in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Right? The nonviolent marijuana sales. And I know, listen, there's a lot of times guys who are on the street slinging marijuana are up to, you know, they're doing worse things as well.
Right.
They're part of a criminalized, corrupt circumstance. I understand that. But in the meantime, if you take the money out of that, and I don't even like pot. This is not about me. I'm not advocating for something that's going to help me in any way, which I think some politicians should start to think about. Mm-hmm. But at this moment, this is a time to stop that. This dude belongs in a jail cell. He's a violent felon with a gun.
And you wonder what will happen to him now.
Very lucky that police officer did not get killed. All right, checking in at
number four.
Senator Al Franken resigned today. He was in the well of the Senate. I mentioned this earlier. Mm-hmm. It was such a strange moment to stop and think, Senator Al Franken, that was the dude from Saturday Night Live. That was the first thing I thought of when I saw it. Now he's more famous for that picture with Leanne Tweeden. Is that her name?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Sounds right.
Thank you. We forgot about her already. I mean, this is a crazy time we live in. And so here is Al Franken in the well of the Senate.
I, of all people, am aware that there is some irony in the fact that I am leaving while a man who has bragged on tape about his history of sexual assault sits in the Oval Office, and a man who has repeatedly preyed on young girls campaigns for the Senate with the full support of his party.
Now, obviously, he wants to do that. And as a performer, I'm sure he's very upset that he blew his lines on that, because that's going to go down in history as it's going to be one of those statements from this moment that in history that will be remembered. But to me, I watched that this morning and I just thought to myself, okay, or this afternoon, whenever it was, that it's Al Franken. He's a senator now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about the president of the United States, who's Donald Trump, the guy from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Right, it's like if the NBC
lineup for the upfronts in 2000, you know, year 2000, the two of them would have been standing side by side at some point. You know.
If a 15-year-old Rokhan were transported in time forward to 2017, you'd stop and you'd go, what? No.
You said, believe it, the guy that says I'm smart enough, I'm good enough, and gosh darn it, people like me, and the guy from Home Alone 2 that gives Kevin directions at one point, or what?
Right.
It is hard to put all together.
And that's what's happening. And then I would go, oh. And then when you stop and you think about, like, what is the common denominator? It's television. Television is evil. That, I think, is what we have just
learned.
Right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We'll get to your 3, your 2, and your 1. But first, Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
And then there's this week on Chicago's Best. Brittany and Elliot are making a meal that makes you feel right at home. It's an all-new Chicago's Best Comfort Food, Sunday night at 10 on WGN TV.
All right, here we go. Top 5 continues. Richard Roper's in the studio is going to review, coming up, The Shape of Water, which looks wild. He'll tell us if it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Darkest Hour, Gary Oldman as Winston Churchill.
Oh,
Yes.
Highly anticipated film.
Yes.
Did they move that back? Was that originally supposed to come out earlier than it did?
No, there was another Winston Churchill movie earlier this year with Brian Cox, I believe.
Right.
There's every British actor has to play Winston Churchill when they hit 55. Right around that age.
It's Gary Oldman.
Yeah, so
good one.
Daniel Radcliffe from the Harry Potter movies in about 25 years will be playing Winston Churchill.
Right after they appear in a romantic comedy.
Yes.
Christmas themed romantic comedy.
From Richard Curtis. Yeah. Yes. Love Actually 3.
Yeah, they will then as soon as they age out of that, then they immediately go to Winston Churchill.
Maybe an upstairs, downstairs type thing in between where they're the butler or the lord of the manor.
Or else the British guys always have to dress in drag for at least one appearance true. Show, something.
It's the Monty
they
Python
all have
rule,
to do that.
I believe.
Yeah, I don't know what
true.
That's all about. It's really
funny.
True.
Hello. It's true.
Hello.
They have their fancy dress parties
I'm
over
Dame,
there.
I am Dame somebody.
Yeah.
Not around here, we're not gonna do it.
Oh jeez.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
The latest United States athlete to speak out against the president is skier Lindsey Vonn.
Ooh.
What?
Isn't that Tiger's ex?
Yep. She's adding her name to the list. Speaking to CNN's Christina McFarlane, Lindsey Vonn explains what it means to her to represent the United States at the Winter Olympics.
Well, I hope to represent the people of the United States, not the president. You know, I take the Olympics very seriously and what they mean and what they represent, what, you know, walking under our flag means in the opening ceremonies. And, you know, I want to represent our country well. And I don't think there are a lot of people currently in our government that do that.
Would you accept an invitation to the White House if you were to win Olympic gold in Pyeongchang?
Absolutely not. No. But I have to win to be invited, so. No, actually, I think every U.S. team member is invited, so no, I won't go.
But for you, it's definitely not.
No.
She's not going. She was never invited.
Never invited.
I never invited her, even though she hasn't won yet. I've disinvited her. You know, I think there's a lot of people out there. I would like to make, there's a clarification that needs to be made here. Because I think there's people who listen to that and go, you know, there you go. It's just, you know, this just it's just the same way that people were feeling about Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Now, I the reality is this, that, you know, people should respect the presidency, whatever. And the people who didn't like Barack Obama were told you should respect the presidency even if you don't respect the president. Mm-hmm. There is a difference here. There are people who didn't like Barack Obama because of his politics. I think a lot of people here don't. You're hearing so many Republicans saying similar kinds of things about Donald Trump. It's not about Donald Trump's politics. It's also not about his skin color, as I think a lot of people were upset about
with Barack
Obama. Mm-hmm. This is about his behavior. It's about his attitude. It's about the way he presents the presidency. It's not about what he does as president. Because there's a lot of people, you know, they're going to vote for a lot of things here that he's going to support in Washington. And there's a lot of conservatives and a lot of Republicans who would support, you know, tax reform and other things like that. It's about how he presents. It's about making it about himself. It's about the way that he treats facts, the way the disrespect that he shows for really important institutions in the United States. If he doesn't like the way the FBI is run, you don't publicly say it's in tatters.
Yeah, he hasn't earned the respect of a lot of people think. If you're going to rip the FBI and the CIA and a bunch of other intelligence
news media and all of that,
and generals and soldiers and women and Native Americans and Gold Star families, then to say that you don't respect him is not being disrespectful to the office. It's saying he hasn't earned it. Also, let's not forget, he just went golfing with Tiger Woods. So you know he's going to say next that I told Tiger he could do better. He could get a Hope Solo or a Lolo Jones. Much better looking than you. You're a five.
Did he just play with Tiger?
Yeah, he did. Last weekend.
Remember he used to get involved? I missed the days when he would just get involved, like whether or not Robert Pattinson should be with Kristen Stewart. You know, Trump would tweet about that.
It's interesting, though. I wonder if Lindsey Vonn's mad at Tiger. And then there was a Tiger's with, I don't know.
How could you?
I think she was mad at him for a couple other reasons.
Oh, not Tiger.
You think?
Not Tiger.
Yeah.
Checking in at
number two.
Simon Cowell's London neighbor has gone ballistic outside Simon's home.
Ruh-roh.
Threatening to smash cars with a golf club. Oh, speaking of Tiger.
Oh.
2-iron? 3-iron?
The neighbor was apparently upset at Simon for parking in front of his house. He came out wielding a golf club and hurled insults.
Oh.
This guy seems to carry a grudge over, well, Simon Cowell just being Simon Cowell.
Get off these cars right now. What country are you from? LD. LD means diplomat. You're not supposed to fuck in front of my neighbor. No. And I want to arrest him and jail him. Shut up. Get off. Get off my property.
Go, Simon.
How are you, all right? Good.
Having a bit of trouble with your neighbor?
Just a little bit.
Oh, even the TMZ paparazzi type seem more sophisticated. Hello, Simon. Camped outside here. Bugger up now.
What one percenter problems, too, though? I mean, he's parking his Lamborghini slightly on his front lawn.
It's in front of my manor. You're parked in front of my manor.
Although it makes you think that the Rand Paul thing really was over lawn debris. I mean, the way people just lose it.
Oh, yeah, that's
over
true.
Their whatever.
Neighbors. It's years and years and years of informed hatred, though. Mm. That's how that happens.
It builds.
Yeah.
It builds.
All right.
Wow. Trouble that?
That truly is white people problems.
Number one.
Before President Trump signed a formal proclamation for the 76th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack, one veteran of the Japanese attack broke out in song.
One great battle cry could be heard by American friends and foes alike. Remember Pearl Harbor. Have you heard that before a couple of times? Remember Pearl Harbor.
Remember Pearl Harbor as we go to meet the foe. Just remember Pearl Harbor as we did the Alamo. We shall always remember how they died for liberty. Just remember Pearl Harbor and go on to victory.
Yes.
What can I say? Wow, that was good. He's a very shy person, too.
What a cool, apparently spontaneous not. Moment. It's so sweet.
It's great. All right. Let us close this thing up right now.
The top five at five.
Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Richard Roper's in the studio.
Yes.
Hey, let me just, we're going to get to movie reviews here in just a second, but let me say this, that it's the most wonderful time of the year, as you just heard in the news and in the commercials.
Is that an acceptable Rokan Christmas song? It's the most
Okay. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. I would say that's
a nice
could
one.
Stand on its own.
Yes, it stands on its own.
Andy Williams, I think. Did he make that famous? It's the most wonderful.
Yes, he did.
He had lovely sweaters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very memorable.
So did Mr. Rogers.
He had pretty boys. Sure do have a pretty voice.
But this is singing voice. This is the most wonderful time of the year. Mm. And so you tune into WGN Radio's Holiday Spectacular next Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Okay.
It's a live review reminiscent of the popular variety shows of the past. It's co-hosted by Bill Leff and Domati Pongo.
Oh.
Domati Pongo.
I know. I make that mistake because I'm a Chicago.
It's
kind of
like Do-Re-Mi. Domati.
I'm like the guy who pulls him over. Domati. What kind of name is Domati?
I call him Bill.
Oh, gosh.
Well, then you're going to be Bill very confused with this special. You'll hear
the Bill and Bill special.
Seasonal songs and stories and Yuletide poetry. Oh, we don't have to write a poem, do we?
I think we do.
You have to read one.
I wrote a haiku just to show
just
off.
Just for you.
Oh, my God.
It's because you could. Because you knew what a haiku was. And that was important. I myself, there once was a Santa from Nantucket.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, God.
Santa Claus went up the hill. Oh! Not going to be good. Don't do that.
All right. Now, you're going to want to check out. There's rehearsal video. No, we haven't done our rehearsal yet. What do we do? We're rehearsing next week, right?
Yeah.
Let's get
next
that in.
Next Friday. Or next
worried.
Tuesday, I mean.
I'm very worried. This crew?
They're going to record our rehearsal?
Why would they do that to us?
People, I was not told about this. Where is my agent when I need him?
Get Don on the phone.
Get Don on the phone. Exactly right.
Just Bubby. Do it live. Who needs a rehearsal?
We'll do it live.
honey, baby, sweetheart. I'm surprised he didn't call me today. He actually did call me today.
He did.
And it was like, I don't have time to talk to you. It was like, it would have been something like, honey, baby, sweetheart, listen, they're going to need to record that rehearsal for that that thing that they're doing with you on the, what radio station are you on again? It's stuff like that is actually what he'll say to me.
He's like, how's Hillaria? Oh, wait, that's for when I talk to Alec a little bit later.
Martin Scorsese is on the line. Gotta let you go.
Yeah. I'm still a believer. No.
No, it is kind of like that. It is sort of like that. I literally was once on the phone with him when Bill O'Reilly was yelling at him.
Oh, geez.
On a conference call.
Oh, gosh.
And he was still talking to me, and it was like, I gotta go because O'Reilly is very mad about something.
That was probably permanently mad about something. Yeah. That guy seemed like it.
So anyway, that was how that. I do need to get a hold of him though and tell him that whatever. I do not. So we're gonna do a rehearsal.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's a 5-minute thing. It's not gonna be. It's not that much. We just got to make sure it's makes sense.
I just got cast in it, by the way, during the last break.
You did?
Yes.
For our Christmas special?
Yes.
How come you know? Do you know what the role is?
Yes.
I don't know anything about it.
I asked for a separate title card too. Like, you know, they used to do, you know, with Vic Damone or like, you know, at the very end of the credits you get that, you know, with Lee Marvin as the cowboy.
The with was as big as the starring.
Yeah. Also starring Bernie Koppel.
So what do you know? What can you reveal? What
no.
No.
I'm not telling.
Do you know what we're doing? Excited.
No, I have no idea. That's why I said we gotta get this together.
You gotta schmooze.
But once we actually do it in rehearsal, what if I don't want to do it live? What happens then?
Honey, baby, sweetheart, listen. They called. You have to do it. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to suck it up and do it.
You're going to be the most beautiful North Star
But it's
ever.
Going to be beautiful. It's going to be great. You're going to be a big star. We're going to make you a big star. Fatwa. It's a fatwa.
Larry David.
By the way, if people have not seen this season, if you're a Curb Your Enthusiasm fan,
so
and you've
good.
Not seen this season, just ended, binge it. It is.
It's so worth it.
Is one of the most best written comedy arcs ever seen.
His ability, and
especially he wraps the whole thing up. They drop little breadcrumbs for you throughout the season, and then he brings it somehow all together in the finale.
With Lin-Manuel Miranda performing.
I think Lin-Manuel Miranda is going to win an Emmy for playing Lin-Manuel Miranda on the show.
So
he could
good.
Win an Emmy for Best Supporting Actor.
Gosh, he's so good.
Without question.
Playing that, like a different kind of version.
As himself.
As himself.
Standing up to Larry David.
Fantastic. But the thing is that the whole point of the series this season, let me just share this for a second because I just watched it. I literally almost died laughing. I was watching it on the treadmill, which was a mistake.
Nearly fell off.
There was a scene which I thought it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen on television. And
so funny.
And the problem that we have here is that the idea here is he's doing a musical called Fatwa, which is based on the life of Salman Rushdie after the fatwa was issued when he wrote the Satanic Verses back in the 1980s or 90s or whenever that was. Mm-hmm. Now, from its very beginning, it's a pretty funny concept for a musical, right? Yeah. So he goes out and gets Lin-Manuel Miranda for it. I'm not giving away too much here.
No, I don't think
not
so.
At all.
And they write it, but the most amazing piece of this is that it's really good.
Oh, it's so good.
F. Murray Abraham as the Ayatollah, right?
Right. It's. I mean, the thing is that if they actually took that to Broadway, it would be a hit,
at least
what you see of it. And you see about, you know, 20 minutes worth of songs throughout the season.
I watched
the guy from Hamilton,
times.
You know?
He's
clearly contributed his own talent to it. The little touches are great, too, because, like, Lauren Graham, who was on the Gilmore Girls, right? Mm-hmm. Plays his girlfriend, who's an NBC censor. And at one point, they're watching a TV show called Chicago Homicide, which I thought was a real show. And it's Jerry O'Connell and Ali Larter playing Chicago detectives. And he goes, "What are you watching?" She goes, "It's Chicago Homicide. It's a proven fact that if Chicago is in the title, people will watch the show.
No matter what kind of crap it is.
Because you got Chicago PD, Chicago Med, Chicago Justice, Chicago Fires, Chicago Homicide with Jerry O'Connell.
And we love it all as long as they film here. The best is, I don't think I'm revealing too much to say, the outfit tracking part of it all is the fun sort of ender.
It is as great a season of of bingeable television is you're going to find anywhere. Even if you're new to Larry David, you don't, you know, you never watched the show, the Curb Your Enthusiasm, you can just pick it up with this season.
Yeah,
totally
I agree.
Yeah, and you get it. He's a rich guy. He made he made $250 million off of Seinfeld. And that's all you need to know. That's how it starts. That was the beginning of the whole series, and that's what you really need to know. And he doesn't like to touch people, and he's easily
agitated.
Yes, and he's got that thing. He's on the spectrum, as he points out.
Yeah,
no social filter.
But it's not like an actual medical spectrum. It's just a spectrum of a-holery. All right. Anyway, this all brings me back to the fact that we are doing rehearsals for the holiday special, which is coming your way, the WGN Radio Holiday Spectacular on Friday, December 15th from 10 a.m. to noon. Sponsored by American Sale for the Christmas tree lights and holiday decor you've been looking for. Search AmericanSale.com.
Can we get Lin-Manuel Miranda to be part of our 5 minutes? Maybe he'll write something up for us. Probably take him 2 seconds.
It reminds you that Lin-Manuel Miranda has more than just Hamilton in his head.
Oh my gosh.
And you can't wait for the second act. I mean, the next thing after...
It should be fatwa.
It should just be fatwa.
Oh my gosh.
And our friend of the show, Susie Essman, who plays Susie Green, she could get an Emmy for this as well.
So good.
Best Supporting Actress.
And our friend Jeff Garland, Cubs fan, of course. Yeah. Ted Danson as Ted Danson. Which is great.
He is spectacular. Cheryl Hines, of course, is great in it. Everyone who has been in that show, no one is phoning it in. It's their best performances ever. Yeah. A show generally in its, I think this is its 10th season?
After being away for about 6 years, which is crazy, too.
Mm-hmm. When it gets to a 10th season, things are not as good. It's better than any other season.
J.B. Smoove. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, he's so good.
It's amazing. Yeah. And you could just tell they're having a great time doing that. You could just tell. It comes right off the screen that everybody's just enjoying it.
Yeah.
Because there's the rough outlines. I think it's more structured than it ever has been. It used to be a lot looser. But there's clearly room because you can see a couple of moments when Larry David is genuinely laughing because somebody like J.B. Smoove is saying something he did not expect him to say.
Yeah. They're bringing it and they're trying to almost like to – because they're peers, and they want to impress each other. Yeah.
And Chicago's own Nick Offerman. Is in the final episode too.
That's great too.
As a role that, and because some people play themselves and some people play a character.
That one I was a little surprised because he's pretty well known, but he's acting on this. He's not playing Nick Offerman.
And there's really it doesn't get any better than that. And if you're halfway through it, finish it because it ends in a spectacular way. So anyway, so there you go.
I think the last, and the great thing too is they just let Larry David go. So I think it's like 50 minutes is the last one.
It's
56
weird.
Minutes.
Do you think this will be the last one?
I don't think so.
Because they did not say series finale, but they never will say.
No, it's always up to Larry. Well, for 6 years or 7 years, every year you'd see interviews. You'd talk to some of the cast members like Susie and Jeff, and they'd say, we don't know. We're waiting. If Larry says we're going to do it, we'll all be there. And he just needed to have, he did a play on Broadway, he did some other things, and then he felt it was time to do it again.
There was a great interview with Susie Essman. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was on your phone. When you go to the news app, it's up there.
Oh, I like that.
And about how she was in stand-up, and that's how she knew him, Catch a Rising Star. Mm-hmm. And he called her because she was so good at swearing on stage.
She's excellent.
So he called her and wanted her to do this, and she was like, okay, well, I'll do it. And he goes, well, you got to fly yourself out. This is for the first episode.
Okay.
They had no budget. You got to fly yourself out and put yourself up and I'll use you. And she's like, no, I'm not doing that. And they did. And that show would not be the same without her.
No.
No, she's so talented.
She probably told them, use some of your own money, Larry.
Use your own
Larry.
Blankety blank money.
Yeah.
All right, here is Violetta Powdermatic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Look. Some of the best minds in the country peeing all over the floor in this here facility. There's pee freckles on the ceiling now. How'd they get it up there? Just how big a target do they need, you figure? And get enough practice, that's for sure. My Brewster, no one's ever called him a great mind. But even he manages to hit the can 7% of the time. Excuse us, sir.
No. That's all right. Go ahead. You ladies seem to be chatting enjoyably. Girl talk, no doubt. Don't mind me.
That's Octavia Spencer right there. And Michael Shannon,
love
I'm guessing?
Her.
Yes.
In The Shape of Water, Richard Roper's here to review, brought to you by ComEd. And The Shape of Water is from this director, Guillermo del Toro, yes. who is infamous. Pan's Labyrinth, right?
Yes. Does all these, like, you know, elaborate visual masterpieces. Critics love him. The audiences love him. Way, way out there. And this is definitely the way, way out there movie of the year, The Shape of Water. So it's set in 1962 Baltimore at a secret government facility where they have recently brought in something they have pulled from the sea, pulled from the Amazon, actually. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be some sort of sea creature, which is now being housed in the secret government facility. And Michael Shannon plays the security operative in charge of making sure that the sea creature does not escape. And he's very vindictive and sadistic, kind of a classic Michael Shannon villain role. And then that was Octavia Spencer. She plays a sassy maid. And, you know, she's played a sassy maid before.
Yes, she has.
Didn't she win an Oscar for that?
Yeah, for the Help. Mm-hmm. And the other, the main role actually is Sally Hawkins, but we don't have a clip of her because she plays a young mute woman who's also a maid. And what essentially happens in this movie is that Sally Hawkins, as the maid, who obviously has had a lot of trouble and, you know, kind of difficulty in life and setbacks, et cetera, et cetera, bonds with the mutant sea creature, and it becomes a Beauty and the Beast type of story.
Oh, my word.
And she falls in love with the creature. And
so
the creature
King
learns
Kong
to love her. Yeah,
meets,
basically, you know, so because she sees kindness. And, of course, in classic fashion, they always want to kill and do the vivisection on these creatures when they find them, right? The aliens or the sea creatures. Mm-hmm. You think you just want to observe them and, like, talk to them. And see what but they're always like, oh, we could learn so much from this if we just kill them and tear them apart. So that's the classic plot. I mean, and it's on purpose kind of a B-movie. In fact, the creature is not this very sophisticated CGI creature. He looks like one of those creatures from the Black Lagoon. Guillermo del Toro clearly paying homage to those kind of classic 50s films. And then there's a lot of references to 30s and 40s musical numbers and kind of the great Hollywood romances. So it's a very fantastical, strange, beautiful romance. I'm giving it 3.5 stars.
Wow. You believe this romance?
You do. I kind of admired it more than it. Some people are like weeping when they see it. And I found it to be more like something that you were just, it looks great. I mean, like, I know, like, Ro will love the scene where Michael Shannon's character goes into a Cadillac dealership and all the beautiful 1963 Caddies are on the showroom floor. And the guy's selling it, and he looks at it and goes, well, that's green. And he goes, sir, that's teal. That's the color of the future. And he gets behind the wheel of this beautiful Cadillac. And it's got a lot of nice touches like that. It's done in a lot of really cool colors, and the set design and all that stuff is really impressive. It goes way out there on a limb. You give them credit for trying to do something really, really different. I mean, there is,
like
they
it.
Don't, you know, the Beauty and the Beast, we never really see Emma Watson with the Beast. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wakes up the next morning and he's Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey. We never see the Beast part of the Beauty and the Beast, even in the classic old films. This one, the camera doesn't pull away. Like when she, you know, climbs into the tank or the tub with Seaman. The sea creature, Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
We see her, and you know, there's female nudity, and
oh,
there's sea creature nudity as
oh,
well.
God.
Oh God! Oh no! Yeah. I guess I can get away with that because it's like,
what is that?
That's not really
not
what
sure.
you think it is.
I don't know what Roy Moore's going to think
so
of this.
So is it PG-13?
Oh gosh, I got to think it's R.
Okay.
Because we see everything.
Not for the kiddos.
On the young Sally Hawkins and the merman, and he is a man.
Oh.
I guess we
there's
would
some,
know
there's
that
a question at one point about well, how
does
could
he
they?
Look
he looks like a man, like a seaman, like an Aquaman.
So watch your mouth. You know the this guy who's by the way, like Pan's Labyrinth is a wild looking movie. I had no idea what was going on. In
yeah,
it.
I can't pretend to tell you that I know exactly what was going on there.
But he did. But you know, he's done some other. Like Pacific Rim,
mm-hmm.
which is really kind of, I mean, Pacific Rim, again, I wouldn't call it one of the great actor films or one of the great screenplays of all times, although I think he wrote that too.
Mm-hmm.
But it is visually, when you see what happens in the movie,
yeah.
it's visually unbelievable. And he did the video games too. That's where this guy is making all of his money
mm-hmm.
now. It's less about the movies than it is about the income that he gets from producing and directing and writing the video games.
Yeah, and as odd as this sounds, this is probably his most conventional movie because it really is the Beauty and the Beast. When you see it, you'll understand what I mean. And you know, there's also the classic
plot, you know, with the Russians trying to get a hold of the Aquaman because it we're in the middle of the space race.
Never happened.
Attorney-client privilege.
Neither of you are attorneys. Hey, he's going to do Pinocchio next. Ooh. Did you see that? He's announced that he's going to do Pinocchio.
Guillermo del Toro.
That'll be
Pinocchio can be a dark movie.
So creepy when you think about it. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, and it's going to be dark.
Well, Robert Downey Jr. has had a lifelong dream of playing Geppetto. It's like one of the roles he's been trying to play. I don't know if he's going to be cast in this, but for 15 years he's been talking about he thought that character could be really dark and strange when you think about, you know, Geppetto. What's going on there, you know?
you think?
You know, I'm creating
I'm
life.
Going to make a little boy. Yeah. That's coming up a little bit later on in your reviews. All right, let's talk about The Darkest Hour. This is Gary Oldman.
Yes.
Fresh off of, wasn't he just in one of the Marvel, what was he just in?
Well, he was Commissioner Gordon in the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight movies,
right,
remember?
Right.
He's been in so many great movies. He's only, I think only been nominated for an Oscar once for Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, one of them Jean Le Carré movies.
Mm-hmm.
But he's one of the, you know, when they list the great actors who have yet to win an Oscar, he's always one of those listed because Gary Oldman's been doing brilliant work for 30 years. And he disappears into the role of Winston Churchill. I think this is actually one of the best portrayals of Winston Churchill ever because, of course, you get the big speechifying, you know, that he was famous for. But you also see him as he was at the time in 1940. He was the newly appointed prime minister. He was not a young man. He was this, you know, voracious eater, heavy day drinker, you know, could be very bombastic.
Yes.
And, you know, fits of temper and was not the most popular guy. In Parliament.
Well,
you know,
he got unelected.
Yeah, shortly after the war.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was the right man at the right time. This is interesting because we talked about the great movie Dunkirk, speaking of Christopher Nolan, which was all about, you know, the troops who were, you know, almost all the British troops were trapped and then the civilian boats were sent by Churchill to rescue them.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is set in the days and weeks just before that, where everybody else is saying, and the British government is saying, we need to talk to Mussolini and basically surrender. We've lost Europe. Hitler's going to win the war. And Churchill refuses. And I think we've got a clip here where you see where one of the strategists is saying, listen, it's over. We just got to figure out the best terms of surrender, essentially.
Hitler will not insist on outrageous terms. He will know his own weaknesses. He will be reasonable.
When will the lesson be learned? When will the lesson be learned? How many more dictators must be wooed, appeased? Good God, give any mixed privileges before we learn. You cannot reason with a tiger when your head is in its mouth.
Gee, brilliant. That sounds so powerful.
And almost all of those, the big speeches and lines are taken word for word, verbatim, from speeches and meetings, etc. Gary Oldman will definitely get nominated. I think he's got a real good chance of winning the Best Actor award for this. It's so brilliant. I love the film. 3.5 stars. For The Darkest Hour.
I want to see it just from that one clip you put.
And it's just lots of, you know, and there's some great scenes where he meets with the king, who was the king from The King's Speech that Colin Firth played. It's a different actor playing him who wanted nothing to do with him at first, but then came to realize that he was England's best hope.
Yeah.
Because the parliament was advising the king and his family to go to Canada, to leave, because they felt that there could be red Nazi banners hanging from the buildings in Britain sooner rather than later. And Churchill was one that says, we can't do this. We have to figure out a way. And this is a year and a half before the United States got involved.
That's right. They were alone.
So he's calling FDR, and FDR's like, well, I've got other things happening here. I can't help you. You know, it's like, that's my
excellent FDR, by the way.
like he at one point offers.
Hold
like,
on. I'm sorry. I gotta take this call. The Academy is calling. They would like that tape for Richard.
Mm-hmm. At one point, FDR offers like maybe some horses. He says he can help him with. It's like insane because he didn't want to get involved and break treaties at the time.
Right.
So it's an incredible history lesson.
American aviators over the guys who'd been trained and they had to basically give up their U.S. Army Air Corps and Navy commissions to go over and fight with the British, right? You've seen that in all the movies.
Cool.
You've seen that in, like,
yeah,
you know, in the Michael Bay version of Pearl Harbor.
Oh, geez, right?
You see that happen to Ben Affleck?
Yeah,
you see that where he goes over? There's a lot of movies about that, about the, you know, the guys who went over to the fight, the fighter pilots who went over to go help against the German bombers that were coming over every night. And it was really, you know, this is a great year for, this is Churchill's year, right?
Yeah.
Three films about him.
And Dunkirk, you're right, it does portray him, but it portrays him, again, like he is it's a bit of a drunk. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And he also was very, he was kind of the Harvey Weinstein of his day in terms of how he treated the people around him. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean the sexual Harvey Weinstein.
No, but went through a lot of secretaries and only his wife, I think Clementine, I want to say, who was with him all through, that was like the only one who could kind of put him in his place and say, you got to stop treating people this way. But he never really did. And Gary Oldman was here a couple weeks ago. I did a Q&A with him, and he told me that, you know, that a lot of this is set in the underground bunker, which is like the war room that they had set up for Churchill and for hundreds of operatives. And he got to sit in the chair that Winston Churchill sat in when they were having these big discussions. And he said there were all these grooves in the arm of the chair. And they said that was from Churchill's wedding ring. He wore through the wood because he, you know, in moments of tenseness, grabbing the chair and rubbing his hand against it. I'm like, oh, man.
Wow.
Is Gary Oldman one of those actors that stays in characters, like, in the
interview? You know, not in the interview, but he did tell me that he said, you know, it was 3 hours of makeup and prosthetics every morning. So he said they did set it up that he'd come in early. Nobody in the cast ever saw him as anything but in the full Churchill garb. And he said it was pretty cool because everyone treated him like he was Winston Churchill then. Like all the other actors, when they saw him, he was Churchill. So he's like, oh, good, good. To
that
the front
cool.
of the line at the craft services, because everyone's like, oh, the prime minister's here.
To me, that's the other thing. Movie making is hard. It's not, you know, we want to sit around and go, oh, those powder puffs, snowflakes, do nothing but sit around. And how hard is it just to do that? To be great actors is hard. To go and sit in makeup for 3 hours every day to get that done is very, and then you have to go work for 12.
Yeah.
Right, and you have to know the lines, and you have to actually be really good at it. Mm-hmm. And some actors you can see are not particularly good at it. Gary Oldman, you just even heard it in that clip without seeing him.
Mm-hmm. Totally,
his vocal control and what he was trying to do with Churchill's inflection,
mm-hmm.
and also the words kind of coming out of the back of his mouth through his teeth, mm-hmm. is such it's an amazing thing. He's just one of the greats of all time.
Absolutely, I agree. And the actors, too, like that, you know, if you've ever been on a movie set, they have to sit around sometimes for 3 hours and then boom. Okay, do that really, really huge dramatic scene and then wait for the lighting to get switched around and all that stuff. And then we'll get back to you in 2 more hours. I mean, it's a real skill. That's for sure. A real art.
Yeah.
So it's
no
a terrific film. Darkest Hour.
And who will forget him in his star turn on the TV show Friends?
What? I forgot he was
playing opposite Joey in a World War I film.
Oh my gosh.
When Monica and I guess it was Monica and Chandler getting married. Right.
That's from the Wayback File.
Yes, that is from the Wayback File. But it is one of the funniest scenes in Friends history, which is a pretty great show.
Yeah.
And there's he teaches Joey how to spit act.
Yeah.
Where you have to actually overpronouncing so you're spitting in the other actor's face.
Oh, wow. He's one of my favorites.
He is one of the best. All right. Woody Allen confesses an entire film. The entire film is a confession. Or an apology. I'm not quite sure which.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, I guess. So Wonder
Wheel. We'll do that on the other side.
All right. It's called Wonder Wheel. And we'll have a review when?
Right. Coming up after Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Richard Roper on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
All right. Let us talk now about this. Woody Allen may have done it finally here.
Yeah. I mean, every year, just as you mentioned, almost every year, Woody Allen comes out with a new movie. And he got to a certain point in his life where he stopped playing the romantic lead because he realized he was just getting too old for it. So then he would write roles for Kenneth Branagh, who would kind of almost do an imitation of Woody Allen and various
John
other
Cusack
actors. John
Cusack played
John
him.
Cusack. Mm-hmm. In Wonder Wheel, it's set in the 1950s, you know, in and around Coney Island, where there's a big Ferris wheel called the Wonder Wheel. And Justin Timberlake is now cast in the role. He plays a lifeguard who's also an aspiring playwright, which obviously Woody Allen wanted to be a playwright.
Lifeguard?
I don't know that he was a lifeguard. I don't think he ever looked like Justin Timberlake, but that's what you get to do. So the setup here is that Justin Timberlake is a lifeguard. You know, it's summer. He wants to become a playwright. Kate Winslet is a very unhappy housewife married to Jim Belushi, who's abusive and alcoholic. And the Justin Timberlake character starts having an affair with Kate Winslet. And then Her stepdaughter arrives in town, played by Juno Temple, young actress, and he falls in love with the stepdaughter. So here you have Woody Allen doing a movie about an aspiring playwright, a writer, basically, as Woody Allen is, who is with an older married woman and then decides to date her stepdaughter. And you could see the parallels being drawn to Woody Allen's home.
How old is the stepdaughter?
Like 22. 22-ish. I think Soon-Yi.
It's a little old.
Not 16.
But Soon-Yi was of age. That was not the issue there. You know, the things Woody Allen. I mean, a lot of people thought that was unseemly. The other accusations about Woody are much more serious, you know, about abusing the other kids.
There's an op-ed today in the Los Angeles Times from his daughter, Dylan, who has long contended that, you know, the 7-year-old abuse thing. But she's basically saying that the Me Too movement did not, it's been selective.
Well, I think that's true. And, you know, we always talk about separating the artist from the art. But when you're watching a Woody Allen movie where you have these sort of parallels to his real life, he has to know that when he's writing this story. He can write anything. He's like 82 years old. And the other thing that's a little troubling is how he has a lot of the older female characters in his movies. And, of course, people have talked about this for years. He's got a lot of female characters who are prostitutes or very young. You know, in Manhattan, he was a 42-year-old who was in love with a high school student.
Yeah. But, you know. I mean, that was the ultimate. See, we've talked about that recently. Manhattan, when you see that movie, is a confession to his obsession.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, because it came out in the 1970s, there wasn't a hue and cry about this older guy going out with a 17 or 18-year-old girl.
17-year-old girl, yeah.
Right? Who would have been, I guess, the age of consent in New York.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was like going on spring break with her parents, and then he was like having to pine for her while he was sitting in his cool Manhattan apartment.
Yeah.
And it was, and when you watch that movie, it's super, and I saw it at about the age that she was at, and I thought, man, dude, this is creepy, and I'm a huge Woody Allen fan, and yet, I'm like, that movie always like stood out, like, I just don't want to look at it, I don't want to acknowledge it, and then all the rest of this stuff happened, and you're like, oh, man.
Was the information about him out there at
that
time?
No, not at all.
He was with Diane Keaton.
Yeah,
you know, and that was the other thing. Of course, when he was with Diane Keaton, then he cast her in all the movies, and then when he was with Mia Farrow, then he cast her in all the movies, and then when he's done with them, then they don't ever appear in any of his movies, and that's, you know, that's just his choice. So the Kate Winslet character, though, you know, we have a scene here where Justin Timberlake is telling her, you know, she gets him something for his birthday, and he thinks it's too much, but you could hear in the performance he writes her as someone who becomes deranged because he breaks up with her, basically. Which he's done before with, you know, if you look at something like Blue Jasmine, where Cate Blanchett won the Oscar, but she plays a mentally unhinged woman. And, of course, Woody Allen has long claimed that Mia Farrow is out of her mind and has made up all these allegations about him and is crazy. So you see, he's projecting there, too. So here's that scene.
It's not right.
You got me a gift.
I know, but what the hell? I got you a book. This is, it's much too expensive. I can't accept this.
How would you know it's so expensive?
I've inquired about this watch.
I was with you.
Jenny, this is a $500 watch.
But you always wanted this watch.
Yes, but it's much too extravagant. You can't afford this.
That's my business.
And even if you could, it's much too extravagant given...
Given what? Given what?
It's too much to spend on me. You shouldn't be getting me jewelry.
Why not? Is it too meaningful?
Oh, Christ. You inscribed it.
Yeah, read it.
Look, we have to have a talk.
And is this where he confesses to liking the daughter?
Not yet, but she's got suspicions and she finds out about it and becomes increasingly unhinged to the point of perhaps even contemplating a criminal action.
He's got that going for him now, too, where everybody's trying to...
A lot of cloak and dagger.
Yeah. You know? He's always trying to write the mystery novel.
So there's all that ickiness, but, you know, putting that aside if you can, which I think is harder and harder to do with some of these movies,
the
film itself is just tired Woody Allen retread of Woody Allen stuff. It's 1.5 stars I gave it, which is probably the lowest ranking I've ever given to a Woody Allen movie, because I've always loved his films, even some of the later works where people go, well, you know, he's just kind of going through the motions. They're usually very well done, very well written.
Especially the early funny ones, as he once wrote in a script where he's being met by a fan and goes, I really love your movies, especially the early funny ones, which is true.
That's always been like kind of the knock on him. But, you know, he did movies like Match Point and a lot of movies in the 2000s that are really, really good. If you didn't know it was Woody Allen directing them, you wouldn't go, oh, that's Lester Woody Allen. You'd say, that's just a really good movie.
Right.
You know, he went to Europe and did a lot of films there, tried to kind of get out of the New York you know, world that he had inhabited for so long, but now he's back on Coney Island, and it's set in the 50s, and it's like, you could almost see him, like, dusting off his record collection. You hear all those old scratchy record jazz recordings that aren't even appropriate for the 50s, really. They're just the music that Woody Allen loves, that he always likes to play.
He's going back to his childhood.
Yeah, going back to his childhood.
Why do we have to go back to his childhood?
I don't think we do, so stay away from Wonder Wheel. But go see Wonder, and that's the one with Julia Roberts as the mother of the kid who's got the disfigurement.
Yes,
and
I
it's
still
a lovely
see that.
Film. So see what if you go to see Wonder Wheel, just stop after Wonder, and they'll send you to a better movie.
Great. They're showing that in a lot of schools now. My daughter's school.
That's awesome.
Wonder,
I'm glad to hear that.
Trying to teach kids about kindness and acceptance, and it's really pretty cool.
So if your significant other says, hey, let's go see Wonder Wheel, when you get there, just go, hey, can we see the Wonder movie? And then just he'll realize about 5 minutes into it that Owen Wilson and Julia Roberts aren't in the Woody Allen movie.
Perfect. Well, isn't I like that plan.
Something, I mean, Woody Allen at some point is going to make his final film here because he's 82 years old.
And yeah. So you think this is it?
Well, and you know, his movies have never made tons of money, but they almost always turn a profit. He's got a deal now with Amazon. That's how this has come about, Amazon Studios. So he doesn't have to go through the studio system. They basically pay him, you know, enough to finance the movies. These movies are probably made for $5 million. No, the actors will always tell you that they'll work for nothing for Woody Allen because he is a great writer. So, you know, all the actors that have worked with him through the years, it's like the chance, you know, when they get that call. And then when you look at the roster of actors, including younger actors and, you know, people like Scarlett Johansson, they all want to work for him. Nobody is, as far as I know, there may be some, but I don't know about any great movement to say, hey, don't work with Woody Allen because of, you know, the allegations about him. I mean, look at this cast, Kate Winslet, Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is he a good actor?
Woody?
No, Justin.
Yeah, absolutely. He's done some decent work. He's miscast
in
here.
Social and what is it called? The social
network.
Social network. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, Alpha Dog is a great film. He's in. He's miscast here as he's. You know, you believe him more as the lifeguard than the aspiring playwright. Quite frankly, you know, when he's quoting Eugene O'Neill, you're like,
I know because Woody Allen's right, but I get why. I mean, let's take all of that out of it. If you're an actor and you want to show range, he wanted to pull this one off if he could. You know, Woody Allen has directed 54 movies.
Yeah, he's unbelievably prolific.
Movies.
Grinds them out.
Yeah.
There's still many of them are very
Wakes
good.
Wakes up every morning and starts writing in longhand. That's his been his routine since he was like 27, something like that. Does the same thing every single day. Writes for 3 or 4 hours. Takes Soon-Yi out for a walk and I don't know, you know.
Those two get
puts his little fisherman's hat on and goes to a Knicks game.
They've been together 20-something years.
They're like, that's the oddest thing now. They're now like one of the longest-running marriages in Hollywood. I think it's 20-some years. Soon-Yi.
Yeah. A lot of the actors and actresses that are in the age of social media are getting heat now, even as this film debuts, for participating in his film. So you wonder if that will change the whole...
This might be it. This was obviously made probably about a year ago, so before, you know, the Great Awakening. Yeah. And I think Anna's right. I think now it's problematic. You know, if he wants to keep making movies, I think there will be a lot of people that will say no because it's not worth the heat. It's not going to win Academy Awards. It's not going to be a huge hit. So even from a pragmatic standpoint, if you're Justin Timberlake's manager, if it was this year that he was offered, you'd say, look, why are you going to get a million opportunities to do other things?
Or Kate Winslet. A million of opportunities.
Absolutely.
Plus, does he have any more secrets to tell?
Well,
through his movies. Is that what you guys are talking about?
I think the secret is out. I think is the point.
Cat's out of
There's
the
really not a secret anymore.
A Harvey Weinstein production of a Louis C.K. Woody Allen movie.
Miramax? Didn't they distribute him for a while?
I don't know.
Well, come to Harvey's defense. He was one of the early voices saying that this is a witch hunt and it's all wrong.
This is not the way to go. Woody, not the way to go.
Well. He was worried who was
Al
next.
Al Franken maybe get back into the acting business too soon for Al Franken to get back in.
He could be in a Woody Allen movie.
The Dream Team.
Oh, that is right.
That's what he could start doing, cast all these guys who are,
Al Franken, Kevin Spacey, Woody Allen, Louis C.K. starring.
There you go.
You've
got quite a cast there.
Unfortunately, a lot of talent, but I don't think anybody's hiring any of those guys for a long time, if ever.
All right. Let us, Violetta, would you like to give us the last traffic report of the afternoon? Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis signing off for another day of broadcast insolence. Here he is, Justin Kaufman.
Hey,
hi, Justin.
Good to see you.
Hi, Anna.
Nice to see you.
Big show tonight. Gary Oldman.
You do have Gary. We were just talking about Gary Oldman.
Oh my gosh, I know, he's one of my favorites.
He's on. We had a chance when he came through 2 or 3 weeks ago. They did all of the interviews for TV, you know, where they do it in the hotel room with the poster in the background. Mm-hmm. And I weaseled my way in.
Good for you, Justin. Yeah. Gosh.
So,
did you shoot it for video, too?
We did not shoot it.
It'll be on the WGNradio.com? Nope. Okay.
Good job. Good job,
Go
Justin.
Go to WGNradio.com to not see it.
Yes. You can hear it, though.
Thanks for pointing that out to the bosses that Justin failed to do that part.
I failed. No, actually, we have it. We have it. I mean, because the problem with those, and, you know, I don't want to make the sausage kind of thing. The problem is they shoot it. The audio is in the recording of it. So when
they're shooting it,
they're shooting
not.
It. Yeah. I don't have anything. I go in and I sit down in a chair, and then they hand me a recording of it. So yes, we do have the audio. We do have the video. Just
we should just put that up at WGNradio.com.
Yeah. Why don't you do that?
Why don't we do that?
Why don't you do it, Justin?
Yeah, why don't you do it?
Yeah, do it, Justin.
Do it.
How much time did they give you with him?
They gave me 10 minutes.
He is a genius, though. I mean, Gary Oldman. There are so few actors anywhere. He's right up there in the pantheon of the greats of this era.
He's going to win an Oscar for that movie. I saw the movie. It's great.
Richard Roper just played one clip, and I'm sold. I'm dying to see this
movie. It's something for for anyone who's a history buff. It's great because he plays Winston Churchill. But you watch the movie, and you literally forget it's Gary Oldman. He doesn't look anything like him.
Like so many of his parts.
Yeah,
he transforms.
And there's many a times when you know it's an actor when they're in makeup and things of that nature, when they play some historical figure. But in this case, they do such a good job of transforming him, you forget it's Gary Oldman. You think it's Winston Churchill.
We were just working through some pictures of him during the commercial break. That sounds creepy as it sounds. And when you go through like his IMDb page, you look at all of his pictures, he does not look the same in any two films.
You think about True Romance when he played the drug dealer.
The Fifth Element? You're like, what? Element. That's Gary Oldman?
Sid and Nancy.
Right. It's amazing. Well, Richard was telling us, I think off the air, about that there's this very famous Japanese makeup artist that it lives near him. He'd retired.
He got him to do it. Yeah.
Came out of retirement just to do
that's
this.
What we're going to talk about. We'll talk about that in the interview because that's essentially why he did the script. He was only going to do it if that makeup artist was attached. So,
and again, he was great in Friends. That's all I want to say about Gary Oldman.
It's this crowning moment of his career.
You do like 30 Oscar worthy performances, and you do one 2-part episode of Friends, ruins your career, ruins your reputation.
I've also got tonight Terry Bores. Terry Bores is in with his new book.
Interesting.
Bores and Bernstein.
His book is great. I read it. Yeah. A lot of great behind the scenes.
The Score
stuff.
Of a Lifetime, about the beginning of sports talk in Chicago 25 years ago.
You should put that online too.
Did you post that yet?
No, I've not put that up yet. Yes, he'll be in, and we'll talk about his career. It's pretty interesting to be a part of a startup, to start sports talk in 1992, and that's what we'll talk about how that
great year.
How they great.
We
year.
Had a boss. I'll never forget this. Mm-hmm. It was because at the old place, we had a sports like on Sunday there was a sports show, right? And it was one of those things where they were trying to find, you know, Chicago, every station, GN, of course, still has some of the best sports coverage. And even throughout those iterations, GN was always, to me, one of those stations that could pull that off. You could do a sports show, and it would be better than the guys doing the sports show.
Sports stations, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
But it was a very interesting thing. So Mike Murphy was at WLS, and he got stolen away by the Score. And I'll never forget our boss was like, that'll never work. Are you kidding me? That's never going to work. And then that guy ended up running that radio station.
Terry spends a good portion of the book talking about his relationship with Mike Murphy and also his relationship with Judd Surratt, which is great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Mike Murphy is one. By the way, it's a very specific thing, sports talk, but he is one of the most interesting listens because he knew everything about everything. He knew about baseball. I mean, I don't know if you know anything about football. I know about baseball. He could tell you what some utility infielder in 1982's
right.
batting average was, and you're like, what? How do you know that?
Guys that are good at that are so good.
Wait till you hear what Terry has to say.
Yeah,
about
I was going
to
say. Terry doesn't like him, but.
My favorite part of sports radio is just how they can make everything sound like it's the most important thing in the entire world.
A skill,
I mean,
right?
Like Kim Jong-un and nuclear war is like sounds less threatening than some bad quarterback coming into
it's
town.
Amazing.
Well,
because,
it might be.
You know, and back in when this we'll talk about 1992, there were only a couple of radio stations like that in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so for it to come on in the air and to think about now that sports talk is synonymous with just sports coverage.
Yeah, it's true.
It's surprising
it's
to think
over.
How it, for 25
so
years. It's only been 25 years, but it seems like it's been around forever. So
yep.
We'll talk
right.
about that.
All right. All right. Have fun. Sorry
have
to be
a good night,
in your
guys.
Way.